Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Pathfinder 101 podcast.
Today's interview is with Ms. Paige Myers, Learning Implementation Project Manager at Grant Thornton LLP.
Prior to this role, she worked at St. Mark's as a Spanish teacher.
Thank you for taking time out of your day for this interview. Really appreciate it. And let's jump right into the questions. The first question I have is, as a school student, I understand that as a teacher, teachers educate students at all levels. But in addition to teaching, there's also a lot of planning and different activities that go on in the background. So could you briefly explain like some of these and what goes under the role or umbrella of a teacher?
Yeah, you're so right. There's so much that goes on behind the scenes other than just the time that we spend in the classroom with the kids, right? So every teacher is prepared in that we have an education and pedagogy, you know, teaching methods, and then various learning methods associated with our subject, right? So for Spanish, I have a whole set of methodologies that I studied in order to be able to give lessons and, you know, properly prepare students. So other than all of the theory, the learning theory behind it, there's lesson planning, which, you know, got more complicated once we moved to the staggered schedule, the rotating schedule. There's lesson planning. There is communication with parents, communication with administrators, attending meetings, you know, for various different schools. When students have different needs and accommodations, those require a few more meetings, a little bit more paperwork as well, just to make sure that we're following all the rules and regulations. Public schools also have certain rules and laws that teachers have to follow, as you know. So there is a lot that goes on behind the scenes. You know, it's so much more than just the time we spend in the classroom.
And what made you to consider a career in education?
Yeah, I really didn't go into school thinking about education. I always knew that I liked kids. I loved working with kids. I volunteered with kids in high school, worked with kids in Spain, volunteered with kids in college as well. But I just kind of kept pursuing Spanish, and that's where it led me.
And what made you to keep pursuing Spanish over like the different, because college is a wide variety of options?
Yeah. I just kept pursuing Spanish because those are the classes that I kept enjoying, you know, other than I love the practical aspect of it. That's what I probably love the most. You know, being in Texas, there are a lot of opportunities to interact with native speakers. And so, you know, being out and about, different jobs that I held to in high school and in college, being able to interact and speak with native speakers, I thought that was just the coolest thing ever. And in addition to that, learning about the history of different countries, Spanish-speaking countries, yeah, learning the literature. The literature was probably my least favorite. But still getting to read, you know, good stories in another language. I thought that was just the coolest thing ever. The fact that I'm doing all of these studies in a language that, you know, all these people that I grew up with don't even know. So I just can't go with it. Yeah.
And what different factors influenced your decision to teach in Spain for 2 years?
Yeah, Spain was, because I studied Spanish in undergrad, I thought, well, I'm pretty good, but I could be better if I went abroad. And, you know, there's no need to jump right into the real working world right now. So why not take a few years and enjoy myself? So Spanish Ministry of Education hired native English speakers to go into their bilingual schools. So I taught at a bilingual elementary school there. And, you know, the fact that I could get paid to live in Spain, work with kids, which I already knew I enjoyed, it was a win-win. So that was a no-brainer for me. I worked 4 days a week and got to travel Europe on the weekends. And, you know, Spain, the culture, the lifestyle can't be beat, and highly recommend for anybody thinking about taking some time, you know, between high school and undergrad or right after undergrad. It was a great experience.
And you also pursued a master's in Spanish language and literature. What led you to pursue that? And do you still find that like useful in your day to day? Or is that just like in the teaching aspect?
Yeah, I decided to pursue the master's because I had been at a public school in Texas, in North Texas, for 2 years. And it was really tough. The school you're at has excellent class sizes, you know, a wide variety of class offerings. The school I was at didn't have a lot of funding. I had over like 140 students a year. So it was really tough. So I knew that I enjoyed the teaching aspect, but I knew for me, it was not sustainable to stay in that environment. Not to say that it's not worthwhile. It definitely is. And I'm still a huge supporter of public education. I decided to pursue the master's because I knew I wanted to keep teaching. And I knew that I would need a master's to go to a different level, whether that be university or an independent school like the one you're at. So decided to go for that reason.
And after your master's, you worked at Baylor and then you came to St. Mark's. Could you talk about some of the experiences that you had at both of these places and what ultimately led you to St. Mark's?
Yes. One piece of advice I would give is probably not worth it to pay for a master's degree in something like Spanish. My master's was paid for, which is great. There are a lot of good scholarship programs if you do the research to find, you know, what you're interested in. So I had a scholarship and an assistantship. So that means I tutored my first year, and then my second year at Baylor, I taught at the same time that I was taking classes. So I taught 8 a.m. every day, and then I took my course load in the afternoons or after that. And I stayed on at Baylor to work their study abroad program after I graduated. So I went back to Spain, which was the same study abroad program that I did in undergrad, and got to work that as well. So facilitating that program for the undergrad students who were there. So that was an incredible experience. I enjoyed it so much. I would have stayed at Baylor had Miss Cisneros not reached out to me. I went to Mrs. Cisneros from your school, and I were in Spain together. She also went to Baylor. She and I kept up, and she told me about the opening at your school. And so, yeah, I decided to make the jump to do that instead of staying to teach at Baylor because, you know, to be honest, it was better pay, it was better location. Love Waco, Texas, but Dallas, I do have to say, Dallas beats it out when thinking about places to live. Yeah, so I took the job. There's also, you know, a few more opportunities to teach subjects that I wanted to. In Baylor, I was, you know, absolutely the lowest rung on the ladder, right? Just with my master's, everyone above me had PhDs, so I would not get to teach some of those fun courses like the one I did for the honor students, the sophomore honor students at your school. So more opportunities, more areas for growth, and a little bit more pay, which never hurt.
And then after that, you decided to pursue a career in IT. How did you make that switch, and what were some of the challenges that you faced, and what different roles have you played since your transition?
Yeah, decided to make that switch because I always knew I would not be in the classroom forever. There, you can think of, I'm sure, at school right now, some people that I would qualify as like super teachers. They are in it for the long haul. They live and breathe teaching. They are amazing teachers. They're so dedicated to everything they do. They're incredible inside the classroom. They live and breathe teaching. And I knew that was not me. So pandemic really got me thinking, and I decided that this was the time last year to make the jump. And, you know, part of the reason behind that, I got to do some things at your school, like coordinate international trips. You know, I started working more on my content creation instead of just kind of taking what I was giving and passing on to the students. I worked a little more with designing and laying all that stuff out, which I really enjoyed. And so I felt like I had some strengths that I couldn't develop in the classroom. And I felt like, you know, teaching is also one of those careers where, for the most part, from the start of your career to the end, that your day-to-day looks very much the same, right? In the classroom with students all the time. So I knew that I wanted something different. So decided to make the jump last year, started applying. It was very tough. Only landed one interview. I took it. It ended up being a good fit. I got to use my Spanish when I started out, and then got to advance further into the project manager role, which has been an excellent fit. And honestly, there are so many parallels between teaching and this job. You know, all of the coordination that we do, all of the planning that goes into it, you know, the moving parts. Now I'm working with stakeholders who are just like my colleagues. But before, it was like me managing, you know, all of my students and working with coworkers at school too. So very similar in that there's a lot of planning and coordination that goes into it, a lot of communications. Yeah. And it worked out. It worked out until my first company that I left teaching for had a layoff in April. So that was a huge bummer, but landed this other job. And so far, so good.
Could you briefly talk about how a typical workday or work week looked like for you, and some of the daily responsibilities maybe at your previous job and now, since it's just only been like 2 months?
Yeah. So daily duties for, you know, whatever project you're working on, you have a plan. And you're kind of checking in on that every morning. So making sure, okay, today I know I need to get this to this person, or I need to get this from that person. So checking off your project plan, making sure you know what needs to go in or out, keeping up with communications with everybody. You know, maybe that's like a daily check-in meeting. Hey, is everybody still on track? What's your status? Are there any risks? Are we, you know, are we going off plan? Sometimes it's a daily meeting. Sometimes it's a weekly meeting. But for projects that I'm managing now, I'm working in the learning and development space. So again, very similar to education. So as Grant Thornton, my company I'm with now, is developing professional development courses for their employees, I'm taking in some of the content, reviewing it, passing it on to the team that will award the continuing education hours. So again, it's just a lot of coordination, basically you're kind of like the center cog in the wheel that's keeping everybody running. So different projects require different things. I'm creating, you know, budget trackers. So it's really just a matter of creating documentation, having a plan, and keeping everybody on track.
That was a cool analogy, the cog with the wheels thing.
I mean, everybody, like, you're in the middle making sure everybody's, you know, doing what they need to do as they pass by you. But yeah, you kind of keep everybody spinning.
What is your favorite aspect of your job, and what are some challenges within the profession?
Yeah, my favorite aspect is I think it's just a really good fit for my personality. As you know, you knew me for many years in the classroom. I'm very type A, very organized. You know, I like everything in order, nice and neat. You know, the way that I would organize all of your documents for the classroom, like by unit, by chapter, all of that. I'm keeping basically, you know, same thing for this company, is keeping all of this documentation organized where everybody knows how to find it. So I like that I am, you know, keeping projects moving. It's really satisfying when you come in and someone's like, we have this big backload, you know, we have all this stuff that we need to get done, but there's no one here to do it. And you can step in and say, all right, I got this. And you just kind of step in and, you know, you shoot off the email and you get communication started again and get people moving again. It's really satisfying for you to be able to like check things off those lists. Difficult parts, you know, like any job, there are certain people that are easier and harder to work with. And I'm not thinking of anybody in particular, but I'm just thinking of like different working styles. You know, some people are very laid back. Some people like me are very type A. So just learning how to work with people, you know, and how to communicate best with people is always a challenge, because you want to communicate with them in a way that they will receive it well, you know, which I feel like as a teacher took a while to master in the classroom. And I think here it's taking me, you know, a while to master too. So.
And in terms of that, sometimes like for project managers, especially, the interpersonal skills are more important than the actual technical skills. So what are some of the lessons that you've learned, or some habits that you've picked up that help you, that you say like mastered these?
Yeah, it is a big part. So I think one thing that really helps is just being observant. I had a manager at my last job who I absolutely adored, but he talked about even, you know, keeping track of, even making a spreadsheet for yourself, keeping track of, okay, what do I know about this person? How do they communicate? You know, this person shuts off their computer by 4 every day. This person does not like niceties. They just want you to like send an email with 3 bullet points telling them what to do. This person does want the good morning, the how are you, you know? So even if it seems a little silly, like physically tracking how people like to communicate can really help you be successful. Yeah, that's probably been the biggest lesson that I've learned so far, and the biggest help in the interpersonal skills. But also, I think another thing is always be curious first. Like somebody can send you a message and you can read it one way and interpret it one way, and then that might be totally different from what they intended. So always be curious first. Start with, I wonder what they meant by that. Not like, oh, that message was so rude, I can't believe they just sent me that message at 8 a.m. It's okay, I wonder, you know, I wonder what they meant, or I wonder what's going on with them. Giving people the benefit of the doubt before jumping to any conclusions is really helpful in situations like that.
Does this profession offer a decent work-life balance in terms of just hours and like weekends and stuff?
I would say so. That is probably the thing I have enjoyed the most since leaving the classroom, is I shut my computer off at 5 p.m. I can ignore an email until 8 a.m. I do nothing at nights and nothing on the weekends. You know, I know there are certain seasons that are busier than others, but for now, it's been an excellent work-life balance.
And based on the various experiences and knowledge that you have today, if you could go back to high school or college, as you could travel back in time, is there anything you would do differently? Maybe like interacting with professors more, or seeking out mentors, or developing some skills that maybe at that time you didn't deem important, but now you do, or anything like that?
Yes, Sonic, I'm still learning this lesson. I am not great at planning my next step. So I would definitely go back and try to be more intentional. What you're doing, I think, is amazing to think about careers. I think I went through high school honestly just thinking it will come to me in college. One day I will sit in class and a lightning bolt will hit me and I will know what my career is. And it didn't happen like that. And then I graduated and I tried teaching and it was fine, you know, for a while until it wasn't. And then, you know, so I think being more intentional with, you know, figuring out what's out there, I would absolutely recommend people do that. And even, you know, I think honestly, if I can go back, I might even take a gap year between high school and college just to give myself a little bit more time to figure things out, because not everyone is going to know, you know, as soon as they get to school what they want to do.
That's a great point. That's the entire inspiration behind this project, because like my parents would ask me, why are you, what are you going to do when you grow up? And I would just stare at them blank head, not sure what to do. And I'd mention like something in STEM or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's not easy to figure out. Even I am 34 and still figuring out. And I think project management is a really good fit right now, but it might not always be. And so I think staying open to like shifting gears, changing paths is important. But yeah, I think your path might not look like everybody else's. Like, you know, my roommates at Baylor, I lived with three girls, freshman, sophomore year, all of them in the medical professions from day one, a nurse, a doctor of physical therapy, and a medical doctor, all of them doing those professions right now. They knew from the beginning. And I have always been the one just out here like, I don't know, maybe I'll teach, maybe I'll live in Spain. So definitely recommend pursuing different ways to try out different professions or learn about them. So I commend you for that.
Without going into specifics, one aspect to consider in any profession is compensation. So how does compensation look, maybe just relative and to other professions, and how does that change as time goes on with more experience?
Yeah, I know in Austin anyways, I think the median was like 80,000, the low end being like 60 and the high being somewhere around 120. And that I think included some bonuses and stuff. But I mean, my point of reference is education. So obviously there's a lot more room for growth and room for higher salaries in the corporate world versus education. I know in project management, if I continue to pursue this, there are certain certifications that you can get as well that can help you increase your salary and stay more like the six-figure mark. But yeah, there's definitely room for growth. And, you know, if you really like it and kind of find your niche, like Scrum is a certification you can get, Agile and PMP. If you get some of those certifications, then you can really get up there with salary.
What is your best advice that you've not already mentioned for someone in their junior or senior year of high school that's considering maybe a similar profession to yours, maybe education or the IT job that you pursue?
Yeah, I think regardless of what job you want to pursue now, I think always check in with yourself. One thing I started doing regularly my last couple years in teaching was journaling at the end of the day, like, what about this makes me feel good? What about this does not feel good? And pay attention to the areas that feel good, you know? So I really focused in on, okay, I like all these things that I don't get the chance to explore more in education, and that kind of helped me make the push. So I think checking in with yourself will help you know when to stay somewhere, when it feels good, or when it's time to move on.
Do you have any final comments or thoughts to share before we end this podcast?
Yes, I would also say, don't be afraid to start over. You can start over whenever you want. You're not locked into any major, you know, regardless of how far in you think you are. You're not locked into any career, regardless of how far in you think you are. Nothing is lost. So whatever you learn, you know, whether you're switching majors or switching careers, whatever you learn, you're always going to take skills from one job into the next. There's always something that will transfer. And yeah, your time is not lost. It's just, you went about it in a different way. So don't be afraid to try something new.
All right. Thank you for spending your time with this podcast and for the great advice that you gave.
Hi. Yeah, thank you for having me. This is fun. It was so good to see you and talk to you. And
thank you so much.
Thanks to everyone who's listening for choosing to spend your valuable time with this podcast. I really appreciate it. Please be sure to check out pathfinder101.com for more information like this. Thank you and have a great rest of your day.